The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Let's talk about the other story that is dominating our headlines today. 1,700 patients, as we heard Eamon say, in hospital, 180 in ICU, very close to that peak that we had, and will surpass it probably today. But there is one positive indicator, and it is the positivity. Back in January 4th, the positive number of tests out of all the tests taken was 25%. Today, it's just under 14. So the number of people who are testing positive does seem to be going in the right direction. It's not helping our hospitals and it's not helping our ICUs at the moment, but it will hopefully in time. But concerns have been raised about the ongoing vaccine rollout. Well, everybody wants a vaccine, but GPs and private ambulance operators are amongst those saying we should be included in the first wave. Dr. Amy Morgan, first of all, GP in Drogheda. Hello, Amy.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. Have you been offered a vaccine yet?
No, I'd love one. But no, I haven't been offered one.
Why not? I would have assumed that GPs are on the front line. I mean, you've been dealing and firefighting non-stop with patients who don't go to hospital. You deal with everybody as opposed to those who end up in hospital, which is only about 10%. Surely you should be in the queue.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think obviously it's very positive that the vaccine is here in the first place. It's positive that people want it. There's a demand for it. So that's to be welcome, certainly. And we were obviously expecting to be somewhere in the queue, effectively. I mean, there was a priority listing outlined very early on, and it made sense to us in terms of clinical priority. These are the people who obviously are first in line. They need to be first in line, people who are medically vulnerable, and also, you know, our frontline workers, who particularly, obviously, who have daily exposure, particularly to COVID-positive patients, so our hospital colleagues, our nursing colleagues, and obviously practitioners in terms of working in residential care homes. So, I mean, unarguably, they were absolutely the priority. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we were, you know, were keen to become involved in terms of the rollout of the vaccination programme in the community. And obviously, that's going to be pivotal in terms of obviously ensuring that there's significant uptake of the vaccine in the general population. And I suppose the principles of general vaccination programs are it's vaccination programs that work versus vaccines, and the people who deliver them usually in the community are us and our practice nurses. So the first principle, obviously, to safely deliver that is that we would be looking to be vaccinated ourselves so that we can protect ourselves, protect our patients, and then obviously roll this vaccination in terms of the different vaccines that will come on stream. So we're keen to get it.
Absolutely, I'm sure you are. You're up in Drogheda. I saw many people on my Twitter timeline, many GPs over the last while in Dublin and in Cork saying, I've got it, woohoo, I got the golden ticket, I have had the first vaccine. So some GPs are getting it, but obviously not all GPs are getting it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the GPs that have managed to get it so far have done so through, I think, their own work and networks that they have built up with their hospital colleagues. And I think that's a really positive sign of cooperation between primary and secondary care and goodwill and cooperation. But, you know, that's not available to all GPs. Not all GPs can, you know, piggyback essentially on spare supplies that are coming through the hospital system. And I suppose then when you do hear anecdotally some people receiving vaccines who are not, you know, working in front-facing roles, and we have yet to receive formal communication about what the system is going to be for vaccinating us and our practice staff, who, you know, have been, you know, amazing throughout this whole pandemic. You know, our administrative team and our practice nurses who do the bulk of the vaccination in our practice. So we haven't had that communication yet, and unfortunately, it will give rise to these type of ad hoc arrangements in terms of how the vaccine is delivered to frontline workers.
It makes no sense that some have it and others don't. David Hall of Lifeline Ambulances is with us as well. David, I've seen you out and about. You're back on the front line ferrying patients about in full PPE. So it makes sense that operators such as yours get it. Any sign of you on the list?
No, not at all. As Amy has said, there's been no communication and no plan. Now, there's been obviously been a rolling out and a good PR from the HSE, which is very welcome. Like, this is a good story for everyone. Jonathan, I think many people want the vaccine as a matter of priority and stuff. We fully accept and understand that. But again, we move 20,000 public patients a year, have 100 staff, have 44 ambulances. We move all levels of vulnerability of patients, but also our own staff deserve to be protected and to have the same level of respect given to them from frontline perspective as is given. I wonder, you know, the private hospitals have just done their deal with the public hospitals. I wonder, and I know there's a bit of a flurry of activity amongst the private hospitals today to get their staff vaccinated before they take over public patients. And I wonder, has extra amount of vaccine gone that direction today? But there needs to be communication, there needs to be a plan on this, and people need to be recognised for the roles they have in frontline services, irrespective of them being a public or private service. Everyone has rowed in to do this, and you know, I would do the least amount of transfers amongst our own organisation, but today we've done 14 COVID positive patient transfers around the country. We have a number of ambulances on standby for the HSC in various hospitals during the day, and it defies all logic that the HSC would be vaccinating their own ambulance staff and not looking to private ambulance operators, not just my own, all of my colleagues and all the other companies as well. Yeah. We're not massive by numerically speaking, but obviously the exposure is quite significant.
Yeah, but the exposure is significant, and you are the backfill if the National Ambulance Service, for whatever reason, be it ambulances stuck in emergency departments or staff being out, you will fill that gap. You're painfully aware, given what you do for a living, of the challenge posed by logistics. Do you think this is a logistical issue? Is it just the fact that they need to give it to certain people first who are most exposed, i.e. those in hospitals and those in care homes, and they will get to you? You're probably involved in the second tranche of healthcare workers, if not the first, and regrettably, like the rest of the country, you just have to be patient.
Yeah, and again, look, it's not a case of having a go. We have a very good relationship with the HSC. I think it's frustration that's here. I think, you know, as Amy might have said, there's other maybe non-front-facing staff and persons who are being vaccinated. This is a difficult logistical task. Let's be clear. It's a very difficult logistical task. Many people are being done from centres. It's not an easy vaccine to move around. The current Pfizer vaccine is there. So, you know, this is a very big challenge for the HSC. It's not an easy challenge. It is here. I hope the numbers come. Legislation has been passed, Jonathan, to allow advanced paramedics, paramedics and emergency medical technicians and pharmacists and others administer the next vaccine. And, you know, we would hope if that comes early and comes soon as it's supposed to come, a lot of the pressure will be alleviated. But I just think there needs to be communication and respect to the fact that many people have been doing this for a long time. And as I say, in some circumstances around the country, we're the first line of call for many of the hospitals for moving their COVID patients and discharging them. And I think everyone just needs to be respected in that regard in the community. It's not a huge number. From a numerical perspective, it's probably 250 private admin staff in the state. Is not a huge number we're talking about.
Okay, Amy, if I can go back to you, those positivity rates, I know it's a single day and you can't see that and claim it's a trend, but at least anecdotally, have you seen a fall off in the volume of calls that you're getting with people with COVID symptoms?
Yeah, I think in comparison to the week when we came back after Christmas, which effectively represented an avalanche of COVID-related queries and then being converted into positive results, it has eased somewhat. Now, I wouldn't certainly let that, you know, like that to be a message to get out there in terms of, you know, we can relax or we can take our eye off the ball. If evidence, it's a reinforcement that the current restrictions, although they're very, very hard for people, but they're working and we need them to work and they're critical because we've seen what the effect is now in the hospitals. And interestingly, while I mightn't be taking new COVID-related calls, I'm taking calls from patients who I know are COVID positive who are actually experiencing a worsening of their symptoms.
And they still need care. Amy, if you got a fair wind behind you and you got a fridge full of AstraZeneca vaccine or Janssen vaccine or some vaccine, how quickly could you and your practice staff distribute that to the good people who are on your books?
Well, just when you look at the flu vaccine campaign that we have really just kind of wound up, we delivered, I think, a record number of flu vaccines in the country, in general practice, up and down the country, and that was using our IT systems and our knowledge of how to vaccinate in practice, and obviously the demand was there as well. So we have the tools, we are committed, we are ready. So just give us the vaccine and give us the programme and we'll get on with it.
OK, well, fingers crossed you'll get it sooner than later. 29th of January, that's the new date in the diary for AstraZeneca, hopefully cleared by the European Medicines Agency. And fingers crossed you and David Hall will get one in the meantime. Dr. Amy Morgan, GP in Drogheda, David Hall of Lifeline Ambulances. Thank you both.